dissemination, and this year's nominee and awardee is Consumer Reports. And I think this is really critical for all of you. No state agency can meet all the data needs. We've heard about the demands. And so they are the Uber user of our data, and we have to collaborate more with them. When this report came out, I was happened to be at a engineering dinner in Delaware. Okay, and what I wanted to say was that the latest report came out, and all these engineer types, and it was a talk for like 2 hours. And I thought, they are reaching consumers that aren't insiders. So please stick around, and I'm going to turn this over to Sam Homan from University Healthcare Systems, who will present the award.
More steps there, or fewer steps than that. My name is Sam Holman. I'm with the University Health System Consortium, sometimes thought of as the other UHC, but we're very different. I've had the pleasure of having an association with NATO for almost 30 years. I remember attending meetings of NATO in the late 80s, so there probably aren't too many people who can say that, but there we go, right there's one. This is a very timely award to be given at this point with this discussion of transparency. I'm not going to spend a lot of time up here. I want to remind you of the board's establishing this award to recognize the importance of effectively communicating health data to the public. And again, this is very timely with the discussion we've had this morning. I guess I need to go forward. There we go. I did want to mention previous winners of this award. This is the sixth year that NATO has given this award. The original winner was the awardee was the Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration. The theme around that award that year was transparency. In 2010, the New Hampshire Insurance Department and the Commissioner's Advisory Committee on Health Insurance, the award was very much associated with price in terms of information dissemination. That was followed by the Virginia Health Information Group, and the key there was promoting informed decision making. The fourth award went to the Department of Health and Human Services Health Data Initiative to raise awareness and to spark community action. I mean, all of these things we've talked about this morning, in fact. And finally, last year, the Center for Improving Value in Healthcare, the Colorado Group, and Trio Solutions, who've sponsored a lot of things going on here these last couple of days, focused on the triple aim that the award did with better health, better care, and lower cost. So this gives you a background for what NATO has been trying to do with this kind of recognition. This year, the award goes to Consumer Reports, and Doris is here to accept the award. The features of the award are related to Consumer Reports' involvement in translation and dissemination of health service-related quality data. That extends to hospital ratings and safety scores, hospital ratings around patient outcomes, patient experience, and hospital practices. And again, from the panel this morning, and I think from the presentation we're going to hear from Doris, you'll hear more about what Consumer Reports does in this whole arena. My personal experience is that I've been a Consumer Reports reader for probably as many years as I've come to NATO meetings, maybe longer. And last week, I signed up and purchased my access to the website, so I now can look at my ratings there. The discussion about ratings, I think, is a very important one, and organizations like Consumer Reports are pivotal in helping consumers make decisions about calling into accountability their providers and actually making choices. So would you come forward then and receive the award, Doris?
Slides coming up. Great. Okay. Thanks very much. I really appreciate it. And I'm here today to accept this award on behalf of a large team of folks. Actually, we're not that large. There's only five of us, if you can believe it, who work together, including John Santa, who many of you in this room probably know because he's a celebrity, Christina Misek, Abby Herzig, who used to work with us, Matthew Van Verhees, and Kathy Person, and also our journalists and all sorts of staff that help us work through the data and produce it. We're really a publishing machine, and it takes really takes an enormous number of people to get it out and get it right. So we spend a lot of time checking to make sure it's all right, and that's very important. And that consumer reports are really committed to the consumer. We have no other person to work for except the individual. And we don't take any money from corporations. We don't take money from those we rate, very importantly. We don't license our brand to be used in advertising by those folks, because that's really a conflict of interest. And we buy all the products we test, for example, in cars. And in health, we vet our partners for quality data that we get from them. So we try to be extremely careful. I'm just going to take you through a few things, and I won't hold you too long from the break. So we're a nonprofit organization. A lot of people don't understand or think that we are. We really are a nonprofit organization. A subscription is very cheap, and most of the revenue that we get comes from individuals who subscribe. It's an old-fashioned model, but we can't take advertising. We can't take donations from corporations. So we rely on the individuals that we help to help us. We reach about 20 million people every month with our information, so we really are a large megaphone to get that information out there. And in health, we try to raise awareness of issues, but we also give data to people who are ready to use it. There's many stages in the consumer journey through this information. Some of it's just awareness that there are problems, that there is variation. And then when you're ready, what is the variation in your local area? So we try to do both of those things, which is a challenge, but that's what we're here for. And we've been working in the area for 78 years, including in health, where our first issue focused on Alka-Seltzer, of all things. So it's been a long time that we've been thinking about this. I mentioned our teams and how we work together. We spend a lot of time on data acquisition, analysis, and validation. That's really a focus. I mentioned collaborations, and that was a theme through a lot of the talks I heard while I've been here. They're really a must for us, and we think they can benefit you as well. We work with partners who have data. We rely on CMS data a lot, on state data, but also data from other organizations like the Society for Thoracic Surgeons for heart outcomes, and for heart surgery outcomes, and CQA for health insurance data. And we also have a data swapping arrangement with Cigna. We don't change money because we actually rate insurance companies, but we swap data with them, and we are able to get state-level C-section data from them, not their claims, but the state databases. A couple examples of things that we've learned over time about public reporting. Don't underestimate your audience. So if someone used the word of handicapped consumers, that gave me the image of a consumer who just couldn't make it. Consumers, really, the audience that you have can handle what you can give them if you do it the right way. And we struggle and we test and we change what we do all the time. So it's not easy, but don't underestimate your audience. We're not stupid. Don't try to reinvent the wheel, and we borrow a lot from others who have been successful with their data. Take a look at ESPN. Look at how much data is on the ESPN website, and tell me consumers can't handle data. There's more data on that site than ours. So I go to that site and I look at NOAA sites that people actually go to NOAA and use that data. A trusted brand is really critical, and there are lots of trusted brands out there. We're not the only one, but we are one of them, and if consumers trust you up front, then the next stage will be easier. And this last one, it's that darn directory issue again, and I know infrastructure was a big discussion here. It's really important we invest in our own infrastructure. We should do more, but I know it's boring, but that data directory is critical in the infrastructure to support reporting. And the important thing, consumers really do use ratings. I keep hearing consumers don't use them. They really, really do. We could get more people to use them, but they really use them. I hear patients look at our data and they say, I'm not going back to that hospital. Or I hear from a hospital who calls me up yelling at me that my patients have canceled their surgeries. This is what happens. It really works. So a 2013 PricewaterhouseCoopers consumer studies showed that CR was the top source of information. About 43% of respondents said they use consumer reports as a source, albeit we're with older consumers. Predominantly younger consumers may use other sources, but we have to work on that too, reaching younger audiences with different types of tools and mobile. In our own research, we ask our own readers about the impact of our articles. They're highly read articles. They can compete with articles about cars, believe it or not. We've had readership scores that can really compete at the same level. people say they changed their drugs, people say they changed their hospitals or will change, and they say they will switch their insurance plans based on the data. And again, we hear from patients who come and talk to us that they have actually done those things, and hospitals and insurance companies who complain. Now, if you ask yourself, why are we doing all this stuff? Well, there's a lot of other information out there, misinformation. This is a scan of an advertisement in a magazine that says, our surgeons are the best. It's the most talented surgeons. This is what consumers see. We also see, if you look, I just Googled my local hospital. That's what I see. How do I know what that means? 8 Google reviews. Then you go on Yelp, and I see pictures of beautiful women. I don't know what to think. What is that? Then on Facebook, there are 19,000 likes for Mass General. Okay, but what does that tell me? So we try to not just combat it, but help contextualize. What can you use? You can use hard data. We publish data on elective surgery, looking at patient outcomes, and publish them at the procedure level for consumers. And that was a really big deal. It really helped consumers, and hospitals that did poorly hated it, hospitals that did well liked it, all that usual thing. But I think it really got the discussion going about using claims data to look at complications. Another thing we've been working on is a mobile app for hip and knee replacement, using the same claims data for outcomes and using the federal cost data for looking at value. So that's a new project spurned by an award from Robert Wood Johnson. Another thing you see, a consumer might see this about labor and delivery. They tout their French doors. Nowhere here does it say anything about patient safety. It's all about room service and French doors, which I couldn't believe. So to combat that, we try to help consumers on the other side with C-section data. So we helped them interpret C-section data, and we looked at local ratings. We created ratings based on C-section data for individual hospitals. And that was very successful as well. And in this case, we used social media to get the word out and had a great success with it. Another thing, in some states, you see tons of billboards. So this is a heart hospital billboard. I've seen a ton of these, especially Connecticut has them as well. And so we help consumers with real hard data about heart surgery outcomes, and we contextualize it with stories and editorial to help them understand it. So this was with the Society for Thoracic Surgeons. At the hospital level, we have tons of other information. A lot of it comes from CMS, and we created a safety score to help people understand, well, if you take all this data and put it together, what does it mean as a global picture? Well, let me say, though, we don't rank hospitals. We don't have a national list of 1 to 10. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to help consumers understand where the problems are in their hospital. Is it with communication about discharge? Is it about drugs? What is it? So they can learn from this, not only in selecting a hospital, but if we don't have a choice, we can actually use this in the hospital when you're there, and I've done it before too, and we are all consumers as well. For physician level stuff, you might see an advertisement here about how to find a physician, that it's a physician you can trust. So we help consumers with some hard data. This is another Google search looking at a medical group. And again, I don't know what this tells me. It's not so good, actually. But I'd like to look at some other data. So we help people with local data in partnership with other groups like Mass Quality Health Partners, or Massachusetts Health Quality Partners here and with other states to help consumers see the quality data in addition to the Yelp or whatever else you look online. We're trying to provide sort of more quality data at that level. These data displays can be complicated, but consumers are actually used to using them. We've tested them with consumers that are not our subscribers. We've tested all sorts of symbols and stars and you name it. These billiard ball symbols actually work the best. They're not our typical consumer report symbols. They're different, but consumers can interpret them very easily, even people who are not trained as consumer report subscribers. People can dig this information. It works. Another thing we did with physician groups, medical groups, with the Wisconsin state groups and other areas. Here we actually looked at cost and quality and looked at value. So we've been trying to get to the value point as well. We're limited by cost data at the local level, but we're working to do that. We use the total cost of care measure here from Health Partners. And then finally, in the area of health insurance, we started to look at value as well. We looked at quality and cost using relative resource units and help people select a plan based on quality. And so we looking at value. And we hear from consumers that they use this because they call when they have trouble signing up for these plans. Sometimes the insurers don't have the plan in their market. So we hear from them that they're actually trying to shift from plan to plan. And then just recently, just a few weeks ago, we released a new analysis of avoiding overuse, and we analyzed healthcare plans in areas of overusing antibiotics, imaging, readmissions, emergency department, and heart procedures, and rated all the private plans on those measures. So that was just very recently, a couple weeks ago, so you can see that. This is all free to the public. So those are some examples of how we can communicate data to consumers, and we invite you to come talk to us if you're looking for a partner, or if we can give you advice about what we've learned. We're happy to share all of our information. It's not proprietary. We want to help you get your word out too, even if it's you're doing it yourself. So I'm happy to talk to you if you're around later, and thanks for your time, and thanks very much for the award. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Doris, for the work that you do in Consumer Reports. They're adorable kids. They're adorable kids, but no broken toes, right? So we will go for a short break. What time, Carly, do we come back here? Because we have a very important session. All the transparency, all the data issues are bundled up in the next session about how do you release it. So it seems to be the hardest thing right now, and we have a lot of things to talk about privacy, managing risk, and protecting the data. And I encourage you all to take a short break and come back by 11 o'clock. What?
Thank you.